The following is a public service announcement. Whenever you hear or see a public service announcement on a television show or a podcast, it means that television show or podcast doesn't have real advertisers to fill their commercial breaks, and so they put free public service announcements into those positions to fill the time. This has been a public service announcement.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It's time for Peculiar Podcast, hosted by Pat Cashman.
Gorgeous to look at.
And Lisa Foster.
She's dangerous.
Steve, you're on.
Ready or not, it's Pat and Lisa.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
It's love and time.
How you doing, sweet cakes?
I'm fine. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Hey, you're looking good. You know what I mean?
I know. Look at this.
Yeah. You got a boyfriend?
Not yet.
Okay, well, you got one now, sister.
That sounds creepily, just so you know.
Yeah.
Creepily similar to the coffee date I had this morning with the
gentleman. Oh, no.
We'll talk about that later. No, we'll talk about it later.
Okay, don't forget to talk about it later.
Oh, I won't. I will not forget to talk about it.
Later. Okay.
Later, but you...
Okay, I'm going to run through these really fast now because I'm...
Okay.
I really seriously am starting to question the this idea of how we begin this. I didn't intend to do it. It just kind of happened along the way.
You keep saying we, and it's you. Yeah. I never said to do this.
Oh, I know. So let me ask you this before I go through our list of obituaries. Now, my list of obituaries. Do you want me to drop this? Just say it, and I will.
I feel it's actually interesting until we get to people that only four other people in the world knew.
And okay, fair.
Right? When you pull in... you know what I just did that I hate? I went right. I talked to a woman on the phone the other day that she ended every single statement with right.
And I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh my God, I wanted to shoot myself in the ear. It was just right.
I listened to this very intelligent woman on MSNBC, used to be a staffer, I think, in the Obama administration. She's been around forever. Jen Psaki. Is her name.
Okay.
And she says that all the time.
Oh.
She makes a statement, right? Right? I think it's something that, and I do it too.
It's a verbal tic, and my verbal tic, and I just drives me crazy when I do this, is I will say something and I'll go, does that make sense?
That's a good one. Yeah.
No, it's not. It's awful. It's annoying.
You know what I'm saying?
What?
You know what? That's another variation of what you just. You know what I'm saying? Well, no. Do you?
Right.
Yeah. Right. Right. Oh my God! I hear it all the time.
Okay, go through your list, and you just do what you need to do. And you know what? Here's the deal. Live radio, when we did live radio, there was no fast-forward button on that. There is a fast-forward button on this podcast. So if you feel like you just want to skip to the middle, because that's about when Pat will be wrapped up with this.
Well, don't fast-forward it. There is also a button on your podcast app that lets you go at twice speed. But at least you can hear it. Maybe there'll be a nugget in there and you will have fast-forwarded past it because of this woman's terrible admonition. So don't do it because you're going to miss something truly great, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, who do you have? Who's the top of the list?
Okay, I'm going to be very brief. Sometimes I get very detailed. I'm going to be very brief, okay? 84-year-old Phil Lesh passed away.
Oh, yeah, he's important.
Oh, you know who that is?
He's a band guy, isn't he?
Yeah, with the Grateful Dead. He was the bass player.
Dead. That's right.
And here he is playing the intro to Touch of Grey. Phil Lesh, 84.
That is my favorite. I'm sorry, I talked over you. He was 84?
Yeah.
That is my favorite Grateful Dead song.
Yeah, and maybe the most recognizable for most.
Let's be getting early. Clocks are running late.
I like that one, and then Keep on Trucking is my other. That's about it for me and the Grateful Dead. That's about all I do.
That's a start. One of the great pitchers ever, for a brief period of time, Fernando Valenzuela passed away.
It's a fairy tale so preposterous, Dodger fans dare not open their eyes. El Nino is Fernando Valenzuela.
In 1981, he came up with the Los Angeles Dodgers. He won Rookie of the Year. He won the Cy Young Award. He's from Mexico. And he threw this crazy screwball. It's a ball that will fade away. Valenzuela was left-handed.
And of course here today, a lot of folks have come in just to see the Mexican phenom Fernando Valenzuela. And why not? He's the hottest subject in baseball.
Fernando started like 8-0. He was just a phenomenon.
Perhaps such early season hysteria could only be born in Hollywood. What else can be said but Viva Valenzuela?
An actor named Ron Ely passed away, 86 years old. He did a bunch of stuff. You'd recognize him. He did game shows and movies and TV shows. But he was most famous in 1960s show Tarzan. He was Tarzan.
The dark land of the jungle is the country of the unknown, of savagery, terror, and peril beyond the imagination of men. Here, in the forbidden tangle of the jungle, a child was found and raised by the great apes. Deep in the jungle, Tarzan continues to enforce his law, the law of right.
Oh, he was Tarzan, so...
But he wasn't the kind of, me want you come, umgawa. No, he's an educated guy who then decides he was Tarzan, but then he gets educated. Then he comes back to the jungle to relive his life as Tarzan again. So he's more sophisticated.
But does he...
He still doesn't wear a shirt.
Well, that's what I was going to say. He takes his pants off, puts on a little loincloth.
Yeah.
And then, because why couldn't he just go back to the jungle in regular pants and a shirt?
Well, that's a good point, except if you're swinging.
I'm glad he didn't. I'm just for the record.
Yeah. If you're swinging through trees, I mean, you don't, you're trying to have, you're trying to consort with elephants and monkeys and gorillas. They're not wearing clothes. So you figure, well, I want to relate to them, so I'll strip down too, to a point. That's my theory of why he did that. All right. And then I love this guy. I've always thought he was a really good singer. And he was, obviously. He had a long career. Jack Jones.
Roses and lollipops and lollipops and roses.
That's the way
it is. Jack Jones.
86 years old. Most people, if they remember the old show Love Boat, they would recognize that he sings the opening.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Love, exciting and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you.
His dad was named Alan Jones. And he was a tenor singing star. And Alan Jones was in a bunch of Marx Brothers movies.
Only make believe I knew you. Only make believe that you're with me.
So anyway, Jack, while he had a few hits of sorts, we've always focused on one song that he had in 1964 called Wives and Lovers. And by the way, Jack Jones was married six times.
Well.
including Jill St. John for a couple of years. But this song, written by Burt Bacharach and Hal David, this is the perhaps one of the more politically incorrect songs when you listen to it today. In 1964, they thought, that's cute. Check it out. Check these lyrics out.
Hey, little girl, comb your hair, fix your makeup. Soon he will open the door. Don't think because there's a ring on your finger, you needn't try anymore. For wives should always be lovers too. Run to his arms the moment he comes home to you. I'm warning you.
The singer of that, Jack Jones, is gone at 86. And finally, Lisa, on an extremely personal note, I wanted to talk about a guy, and I know a lot of people that might listen to this podcast. Well, I don't mean a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I mean four maybe, are not in the Seattle market where we did our radio show and may not be familiar with Tony Ventrella. Passed at 80 years old. He had something called cardiac amyloidosis. It's it's a heart cancer, I believe. But Tony was just, his career kind of paralleled mine because I started at King TV in the early 80s, and Tony came along not long after that. He worked at all the stations. He started at Como TV, then he went to King TV, then he went to Cairo TV, then he went to KCPQ Channel 13 TV. I think he only missed Channel 11 and the PBS station in the Seattle market. But he was hired at King. Well, first of all, he came from a little town in Connecticut where his dad was the town barber. And so Tony got into barbering. He did it. He joined the military at one point, barbered there. And I would go down to the King TV sports department, and there would be, you know, one of the sports reporters sitting in a chair with Tony cutting his hair. So, yep. He did it all the time, and he was good at it.
Yeah. He was a good barber, that's for sure.
And then somehow or other, he started getting into broadcasting back in Connecticut. I think he went to a couple other markets and wound up in Seattle and finally at King TV, where he was hired away from Como TV. And the news director at King TV, I was called the creative director, which is a title nobody should deserve, but because creative director at King was me. I didn't oversee any other writers or producers. It was just me.
Yeah.
So the news director said, I just hired this guy, Tony Ventrella, away from Como TV. I want you to put some promos together for him. And I know you like to do funny stuff, so I want these promos to be funny. And so I thought, man, that is good news, because that is what I like to do. What I didn't expect was that Tony Ventrella was so gifted at making things funnier than they really were. Without trying very hard, he just had that gift. And so I would do these promos, goofy promos. The first series I did, I remember, I wrote, was he's sitting at a desk. You see his foot up on the table in front of him. So if you can picture this, the sole of his shoe is facing the camera.
Got it.
And his, you know, he's sitting looking our direction. And he was just talking about silly stuff like this.
Channel 5 sportscaster Tony Ventrella.
Oh, I've always loved sports. Sports is my favorite thing. The only thing I love more than sports is certain kinds of pizza. Love pizza with double cheese. Lots of cheese. But aside from that, I do love sports the best. That's why I became a sportscaster, I guess. I don't think they had any openings for cheesecasters.
Tony Ventrella, unconventional, unpredictable. Weeknights at 11 from News Center 5.
In each of these three or four commercials, something different happens at the end of the spot. Maybe he's got one foot on the desk, and then all of a sudden, his second leg comes up, but the shoes are wildly mismatched. One's got to be a 13, and the other one's like a 9, which you can see. In another commercial, a third leg comes up. So now he's got three legs, and they're all moving on the table. So a third commercial has his feet on the desk. The phone rings. He gets up to answer it and walks off camera, but his feet remain still.
Very funny.
So they were weird looking commercials, but it was a way to introduce him. And I remember I had an intern working for me, and his job was to put the fake legs, you know, swing those up onto the desk at a certain point in the commercial. And so he had to literally lie on Tony's lap
in order
to do it, which was, I think the intern left shortly after that. He didn't want to do it anymore.
Oh my gosh. That's funny.
So we did those commercials. A lot of these spots, I was thinking about this, would not play on as audio here, but some of them would. Here he is. He's sitting around a desk. He's the sports director, and he's got an assemblage of about 6 other people, presumably all working in the sports department, and he's trying to sell them on the use of an adjective.
Okay, everybody, we have a lot to get done today. We have a bunch of scores here. The first one, 34-32. Can we say that one team creamed the other one?
Score's too close. Can't say cream.
Possibly edged.
Well, I have another score here, 37-21. What about cream?
How about waxed?
Walloped.
That's good.
Whip.
We could say dazzled.
That's good.
Dazzled.
Whip.
Yeah.
No. Well, I do have one more score here, 68-0.
Cream.
Tony Ventrella Sports, weeknight.
And then there was a commercial that we did. It's not really that clever, but they pulled it off really well. There was an anchor man named Don Porter, and here is Don and Tony talking in music.
Well, Tony, what have you got for us tonight?
I've got the sports.
Mm-hmm.
I got the scores.
Naturally.
I got the pros in college and high school, too.
Sure.
I got the latest up-to-datest highlights and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I even got a wrestling hold or two.
Gee, that sounds just swell.
Thanks.
And I can tell.
You can tell?
It's gonna happen right here on the Big 5.
Sports news.
Right.
An interview.
You bet.
Win or lose.
That's nice.
Because I've got sports.
Sports?
Sports.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Don.
And then, of course, Tony was a great family man, and so we included his son, Pete, in a couple of different promos. Here they are walking around King TV, and Pete can't figure out why everybody recognizes him. They know him by name. He can't figure it out.
Come on, Pete, I'll show you around the station.
Hey, Dad, that sounds great.
Oh, hi, Tony. Hi, Pete.
Hi, guys.
They know my name.
Sure they do, Pete. Well, Pete, we're just like a big family here at the Big 5. Everybody knows each other, and everybody likes each other, too.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Pete.
Hey, Doug, how you doing?
Great.
Yeah, that's what you mean.
And so, Pete, that's why they call us the home team.
Hi, Tony.
Hi, Pete.
Hi, guys.
You know, Dad, I really like this place.
Me too, Pete. Me too.
Then at the end of the commercial, you see that there has been a little sign placed by Tony, his dad, on Pete's back that says, "Hi, my name is Pete." That's why everybody calls him by name.
Yeah.
So there were some other promos as well, but Tony defined my beginning career as much as anybody, and I just was a lovely man. You get the camera turns off, and then you see an ugly side of people. I saw it a lot, but not with Tony. He was the real guy. Never seemed like he was preening or parading around the fact that I'm a celebrity, don't you? He wasn't into that. He just wanted to entertain people. And later he became very much a philanthropist. He would speak at a lot of charities and help raise money for them. And then he had a career as kind of the on-camera guy for the Seattle Seahawks for a long time. But most of all, I just want to remember him as a terribly lovely man, very funny, self-deprecating. He used to do a bit on his sportscast called Nostradamus. Tony had a prominent proboscis, and he made fun of himself.
Yeah.
And he'd make predictions, and he'd dress up like some exotic soothsayer. very funny stuff. And his signature bit each week was the wrestling hold of the week. You know, wrestling, pro wrestling is all fake anyway. Mm-hmm. But he would intone it with such seriousness that it made it really funny. And here's one more promo we did where he's just walking around in an empty arena with a boxing ring in the middle of it and just going through a reverie of wonderful memories of different wrestling holds.
Yeah, this is the place. A lot of memories in here. Self-inflicted turnbuckle smash, flame toss, a lip stretch, a flying body slam. Yeah, I remember the night the crowd went wild when Mad Dog Valducci had the double wishbone. He was never the same after that.
Cherish the memories on Tony Ventrella's Wrestling Hold of the Week.
Wanted to give a shout out to Tony and his family that he leaves behind. Tony was something else.
Pay tribute to people that are gone. I mean, it's, you know, people croak every single day, and it's just nice that you take the time to say, oh, this person passed away, and here's what they were known for, and we should recognize that and take a moment and think about that.
Yeah.
So in all seriousness, I really do like it. You know, I just kind of give you some crap about it every once in a while when you pull out a name that I'm like, I don't know who Leonard Jenkinmeyer is. I have zero idea who that is.
Yeah, and but I guess my thinking is, well, maybe you should know something about this person.
Yeah, that's gone. What I love about
why should they, like, disappear unknown? Yeah.
Yeah. And oftentimes there are people that I would not have known their name, but I enjoyed that particular song, or I used that particular product and I had no idea it was attached to that particular person. So I think it's nice.
I feel better.
You do what you want to do. I just give you crap because I can.
Goodbye, my friend.
I got an email from a friend of ours. You know him too, and he always sends me things that he's observed or that he wants to tell me about that are a little off center. And he said, I got this email and I wrote it down verbatim. It's an example of where people bury the lead when they write you something. And this one says, quote, Sally and I are going to Oregon near the Dalles this weekend. Izzy the cat has a sitter coming each afternoon between 3 and 5 p.m. Except Friday, they have a yoga class. I mean, the cat sitter does, not the cat. And they were instead going to be either coming by prior to 3 o'clock or they'll be visiting very early on Saturday morning before 8 a.m. Oh, by the way, did you get an email about your cousin's toe being amputated? That's verbatim the email that he received.
That's very funny.
I didn't get the email. I don't know. The toe being amputated? It reminds me that not last year, I think, but 2 years ago, you know, there are people that will send you Christmas cards, which I still do. That's got to be a dying art.
But I know. I do love getting my Christmas card from you.
Yeah, actual cards. I mean, I know. People can take care of it in one fell swoop on email and not, you know, have to buy postage.
No, that's not a card. That's an email. That's not a card.
I agree.
Different.
I'm old-fashioned. We've talked about that before. I'm always the guy that sends thank you cards out. I don't know anybody does that anymore. Maybe you can just send a text.
I don't think I've sent you a thank you card in 20 years.
Well, what is there to thank me for?
Maybe you finally said something nice to me.
Yeah, I don't know. When have I said something nice? You take that back, sister. I mean, we know each other, so we don't need to, you know, pretend like there's a you know, an informality to our relationship. But somebody that you only correspond with once a year, That's who you send a Christmas card to, saying, yeah, I still remember you. You're still important to me.
Right.
So I get this Christmas newsletter from these people. We'll call them, I'll call them the Leonard and Loretta Jackalby. And they're sending me this newsletter. And again, I'm not reading this verbatim. This is essentially what it said. And again, I'm talking about burying the lead.
Okay.
Well, we've had quite a time here at the Jackalby household this past year. It was very busy. First of all, Jenna got married to Paul. He's a great guy. He's we like him a lot, and they're going to be a wonderful couple together. Oh, Larry broke his leg, but he's up and moving again, and he'll be in that ultra marathon next weekend. And that's about it. We just had a wonderful year. We went to Hawaii, and that was great. Man, we had a great time in Maui. Earlier in the year, speaking of Maui, our sister-in-law got eaten by a shark. And I'm not kidding, Lisa. That was the newsletter.
Why am I laughing at that?
It's horrifying, but why would it be... Why would you casually throw it in at the end? Wouldn't that be the lead? Oh, my God.
Well, maybe they wanted to soften the blow. I mean, do you really want somebody to deliver bad news right between your eyes? Don't you want them to sort of pad it a little bit?
I guess so.
Yeah.
There's nothing more to be said about that, except that that was one of the more spectacular newsletters I've ever gotten. Yeesh.
Okay. What?
You go.
Well, yeah, because you just said to me,
yeah,
23 minutes ago,
yeah,
before we hit record, you said, I hope you got, so I got nothing. You said this, I got nothing. I hope you got something. I got nothing. And you've been yapping for 23 straight minutes.
Yeah, I know. I tend to yap. Well, why don't you take it the rest of the way?
Well, I don't have to take it the rest of the way, but I do want to share something that I came across, which I thought was really funny. I'm going to try, and what I'll do is I'll actually post this little video clip on our page, but you'll get the idea.
Hey, can you post some of those Tony Ventrella things on? I'll send them to you. Yeah.
I have them. You already sent them to me, sir.
Oh, okay. Post just at your discretion. Because I can't explain on
the one. The one I want to post is the one with that has Gene Anderson in it. That promo, Gene Anderson, long time, fantastic news anchor.
The one where she's walking down the hall.
No, the one where she's sitting at the desk and he's trying to make a shot in the trash can. I think that's hilarious.
Yeah, I'm very proud of that promo.
I know because it got an award, didn't it?
It won the grand award of all promos in the United States, whatever year that was.
Right.
And I got to fly back to New York to get the award. It was a big deal to me. It's again why Tony Ventrella was so important to my early career. And you know, if you watch the promo, you'll see that he's kind of winging parts of it there. You know, he loses, sorry about that bell noise. He loses the handle on the wad of paper he's trying to shoot. And he kind of chuckles about it I don't know. He just added so much to a script and helped make it work. Sorry, I went on. Go ahead.
So yeah, I'll throw that in there, but this, I don't know if you'll be able to hear this. But maybe you can add this to in post because it really is about the audio here. So this is an old clip from the Brady Bunch, and it's especially funny because of how Marcia pronounces a certain word here, and it's Halloween time right now, and somebody posted this, and I just thought it was very funny. So it's Greg, the older brother. And it's Alice and it's Marcia. And they're talking about scary creatures around Halloween that, you know, frighten them. So let me see if I can turn this on here.
Okay.
And see if you can hear this.
I thought the Brady Bunch was going to be about Tom Brady.
Nope. Oh, come on. What about horror movies and vampires?
Oh, vampires give me a pain in the neck. That's pretty good.
What about werewolves?
What about werewolves? Did you hear what she said?
Well, if you think about it.
She says, what about werewolves? I don't know what werewolves is.
Well,
Do you want to hear it again?
Well, you can, but I mean, if you look at the word were, W-E-R-E, and then it's paired with wolf, it would be werewolf. I mean,
she didn't say wolf. She said werewolves.
Okay, we better hear it again.
One more time. Here we go.
Alice, aren't you scared of anything?
Nope. Oh, come on. What about horror movies and vampires?
No, vampires give me a pain in the neck.
That's pretty good. What about werewolves?
I can't stop watching it. It's me.
So they decided that take was good enough.
Yeah, they said that's fine. Werewolves. Yeah. It's werewolves. Well, there's an L in there, and she takes the L out. And anyway, okay. I just thought that was funny. I wanted to share it with you. It made me laugh. I'll post that on our page. So there you go. Werewolves. Werewolves.
That the way Jenny Williams was killed?
Yes. Find something?
Animal tracks.
Whoever is bitten by a werewolf and lives becomes a werewolf himself.
What about werewolves?
You're catching my disease where you focus on minute things that aren't important to anybody but yourself. And then I get obsessed with them and I think, well, I got to definitely talk about that on the podcast because that's so damn important.
I never said it was important. I did not say it was important at all.
No, I know.
I just thought it was.
That's what I mean. You're getting my obsession. It doesn't matter how important it is. If it seems off track, then I'm going to tell you about it. All right. So I want, before we get done, we're not done yet, of course. But
what?
You don't forget, you were going to tell us about that date you went on, a coffee date.
This morning. I didn't go on the date. We just had a video call.
Oh, is that what a coffee date means?
No. No, we had coffee on the phone.
How do you know the guy wasn't knocking back Seagrams?
Oh, I'll tell you why. Don't worry, I'll get to that. I know exactly why he wasn't. I will tell you.
Go through what happened on the date. The video date. The virtual date.
Okay, but first I want to tell you about a profile of a gentleman who liked me on Bumble.
Hey, Bumblebee, come on and sting. When I first met you, I felt a strange sensation. Couldn't understand what you could do to me. I know when you make love, it's like the sting of a bee. Come on now, baby.
Typically, just so you know, they'll have a picture and then they'll have a bio that says, hey, I'm Larry. I like to play Scrabble. I deep sea dive. I play poker and I'm looking for a lady, something like that. Just some sort of little blurb. So this guy, I actually took a screenshot of this because I just had to keep it. He said... Among all these things he was explaining about himself, he said something along the lines of, well, first he said, I respect women. And do you want to know why he respects women, Pat?
Because they're co-equal with men on this planet. And if I respect a man, I should respect a woman because we're all human beings. Mm-hmm. He said something like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. So he says, I respect women because I understand how a woman benefits a man as a wife and a mother.
Oh boy.
So yeah, that's what we're here for, is to breed and take care of you.
Were you inadvertently dating J.D. Vance? Is that what was happening?
Exactly. This is what I was screaming about on our last episode, that these are walking around amongst us, and that is their honest idea of the value of a woman to procreate and make you soup.
Yep.
That's it.
Well,
that's
back
all
when
we're here.
Back when America was great, Lisa, that was the fact.
I know, but I don't do either of those things. So where does that leave me? I don't know.
You're doomed. I guess you're just doomed. Let's just say
I am doomed.
Geeks, they through my window. I watch her as she passes by. I say to myself, you're such a...
So I had a lovely date with a gentleman, coffee date on video this morning.
But it was just my imagination. Running away.
And what's really nice about sort of these sort of little Zoom video calls, especially on a Sunday morning, is you know, I'm not gussying up or anything. I'm maybe brush my hair, put on some chapstick, and that called it good. Because it's really more about seeing if you can have a conversation with somebody
yeah.
and get to know them.
And they should see your wretched self. And not how you look in the morning. I remember this anchor woman at King TV. I got in very early one morning, and she was getting out of her car, and I didn't recognize her.
Oh!
I mean, she looked like a total... It was not good. Let's put it that way. It was not good. And this is a person that you would associate as being attractive facially on the air,
exactly.
But without the magic of, Maybelline or whatever, it didn't look that good.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
But it was just my imagination once again.
But, you know, we get to sort of bring up a great point. You guys sort of have to put yourself out there as you is. And women, we can correct a lot of unfortunateness with Maybelline. That should be their commercial tagline. We can correct a lot of unfortunateness with this.
Do you think it would be... would it be advantageous to wear a very low cut top when you're on
you?
No, me? You.
Oh.
Or any woman.
Well, according to this this guy that respects women, apparently that's my job.
Oh,
I get it. Wear a low cut top. I mean, apparently that's, you know.
But that wasn't the date you had today.
No, this was just one I wanted to share with you. No, I completely passed this guy up and said, "Yeah, that's probably not kind of where I'm going with this."
Okay, now what was today's date? How was it different from the other guy?
I'm telling you.
Okay,
I'm getting on with it. So,
all right.
So this guy was lovely. He worked in the medical field. Be quiet. He worked in the medical field, and he only lives. What's so nice is he doesn't live 100 miles away. He's like just about 20 miles from me. He's single. He's a little younger than me, well-spoken, pretty good-looking, not really good-looking, but kind of good-looking, and normal by all accounts. And he is still normal, but it was just unfortunate because we had this really great conversation. I kind of just said, I now sort of ask, like, how do you think the election's going to go without really sort of revealing my hand.
Showing your cards.
I just want to see what they say. It's like, oh God, is this guy.
How do you think the election's going to go? Do you think the intelligent woman is going to win, or will it be the big fat bastard? I haven't decided yet, by the way. I'm an undecided voter.
I know. Isn't that just, okay, that's a whole nother topic. So anyway, we aligned beautifully on politics and those sorts of things.
Great.
And then he says, I'm thinking, all right. And he says, he didn't talk over me. He asked me questions. It was actually really nice. I'm like, this has been really, really nice. And then Sherman started barking. And I said, sorry. Oh, he had a dog in his picture or something. And he said, do you have dogs? And I said, yeah, I have a dog. I go, do you have a dog? He goes, no, that's my daughter's dog. And he goes, I can't. I'm allergic to dogs. Motherfucker. Damn it. What? Yeah, I'm allergic to dogs. And I said, well, so does that mean you can't really, I mean, expect to sort of try to get into a relationship or date somebody who has pets. He goes, well, you know, it's okay if, you know, they, you know, you have to vacuum every day. And, you know, the dog, I'm fine if the dog's outside. And I'm thinking, oh, man, motherfucker, God damn it. Jesus Christ, really? I have a normal one and then you're fucking allergic to dogs? God damn it. And then it gets worse, Pat. And then and then he's like, well, you know, I can maybe make it work. And instantly I'm thinking, no, I can't. No, no. I mean, you know, my dog, you know this. You and I are both dog people. They are part of our life. They're in our home. They sit on the couch. Anyway. So then I'm like, all right, well, maybe, I don't know, this might not work. And then he said, and then we got into something about drinking and drugs. And he said, this is kind of where.
Does your dog take drugs or drink?
Does your dog drink or take drugs? And he's like, yeah, I haven't had any alcohol, drink or drug or whatever. And he said, so, you know, somebody who drinks every day and takes drugs probably wouldn't like be my thing. And I said, well, I said, okay, well, you know, so somebody who has a glass of wine every night or 10 martinis on Saturday night, that's not going to work.
Maybe five or six joints.
Yeah. And I said, and I was really upfront. I said, you know, I partake in that. I partake in cannabis and I've tried psilocybin and, which I thought was really a very interesting experience. And then he's like, yeah, that's just not gonna, that's a deal breaker for me. And I wanted to say, well, you know what? The whole dog thing was a deal breaker for me 15 minutes ago in this conversation, little mister. So
another one bites the dust.
Oh, no. So another one down the drain.
Another one down the drain.
Oh, man.
And he was really nice. I said, before we left, I said, I got to tell you, it was just nice to have an actual conversation with someone. And it was actually very pleasant to know that at least that was, he wasn't annoying in the sense of, you know, I had another coffee date with a guy on video. Actually, it wasn't coffee. We just had a video call in the afternoon. And he sniffed the whole damn time. He's like, yeah, so anyway, so when I started my career and I went in the, and yeah, it's just, you know, and this is my daughter. She's really great. And she's dating this. And I'm like, the sniffing, for the love of all that is good and holy, the sniffing. What? No. I can't take that. I couldn't take it.
Oh, I should also mention that I'm a member of the Communist Party, and I've killed 7 people.
Yeah, that's okay. But the sniffing thing, that's too far. I can't go with that.
Exactly.
Maybe he's into blow. And so the drug and alcohol problem wouldn't be part of your relationship with him. Try to look on the bright side, Lise.
Yeah, but see, it's interesting you bring that up because I have my own boundaries and things that I won't tolerate in the drug area. So there's certain drugs that I'm like, no, you can't be using meth and cocaine. I'm out.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's just again, just,
well,
you know.
Well, I'm sure you go through this thing where you're thinking, you know, I talk about how I would like a president that is willing to negotiate and be diplomatic with people that disagree with them. And I'm not going to jail people that don't like me and all that. I mean, do you ever think about, well, maybe I can't compromise on the dog thing, but if he wants to do a little blow once in a while,
another one bites the dust.
Maybe we can have a relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, you want him, you know, you want him to acquiesce some of his behavior, but what about you?
What would you
be willing to change?
No, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Women have been lowering the bar for men forever.
Okay, you got me there.
They have made concessions over and over and over. Well, you know, he's got that thing, but look at all that. No, I can probably live with, no more. Women are like, we are fed up. There's no more of, we're going to make excuses for you and allow stuff that just doesn't feel right. And so we're not lowering the bar anymore. And So there you go. That's all I have to say about that.
Do you think this online dating thing is advantageous? I mean, before it ever came along, you might start dating a guy, and only after you got serious or married even did you find out, oh, no, I didn't know about this.
Right.
I mean, isn't it nice to have somebody tell you up front, no, I can't mm-hmm. do that. I won't do it. I can't. I'm allergic to dogs. It's better to know that right away.
I agree with you. And I also think it's important to understand what their sort of religious beliefs, restrictions, whatever those are, and their political leanings. All those are really important. And right. also their relationship. You'd be surprised how many men are like, yeah, so I'm ENM. And do you know what that means, Pat? Do you know what ENM means?
No, I don't. No.
Ethically non-monogamous. Which sounds like an oxymoron to me.
Yeah.
It's just it's a fancy word for you're still cheating. You're still cheating.
But I'm doing it in a moral way.
Exactly. Because I'm telling her that I'm, you know, I'm polyamorous. And I'm like, I don't want any part of that crap. No.
No. Maybe some people would be fine with it, but you're not.
I just feel like, and I could be wrong, I feel like some people may say they're okay with it, but inside they're not really okay with it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they would go along with it, but I just feel like there's just the potential for jealousy, hurt feelings. How do you balance all of that, those dynamics within a three person or a four person? Or it just gives me the icks, crazy icks.
What was the word you used? Sorry about the bell again. What was the word you used about, wanting to fool around with other people? Something amorous? What?
Polyamorous.
Okay. So there must be a word, maybe it's omni-amorous or pan-amorous, that suggests that, no, you're not just going to have relationships with other women, but also other objects.
Wait, what? Where are you going?
Well, I'm just saying.
Come back, Pat. Where are you going? What happened there?
I'm just saying that, you
what
know,
do you mean, maybe objects. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Couches, ottomans, I don't know.
Banana.
Not to mention the bestiality aspect that is possible.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think it's better for you to wrap that one up.
Yeah, so. Anyway, so yeah, it's fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine.
Good.
Maybe I'll find a nice werewolf to date. Maybe that's what I need to do.
Are you ready for this side splitter? All right. I know you didn't like it much last week. You bailed out.
Sorry, I just.
But I think you're gonna like this one. It's got just the right amount of tawdry in it, but not too much.
That.
Yeah, okay. I know you do. I've actually got two jokes, but I'm going to go with the tawdry one. The semi-tawdry one.
Okay.
All right? Hit it! A farmer went to town and bought a live chicken. He had some time to kill afterwards, so he decided to go catch a show at the local theater. But the woman at the cash desk said, "No, you can't." Let me do her voice. "Sorry, sir. We don't allow live animals in the theater." Well, the man was determined to get in nonetheless, so he sneaked around the corner. He stuffed the chicken down his trousers, and he tried again. This time, "All right, you're allowed in. Congratulations. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy the movie." Well, so he goes and sits down, and pretty soon two women came and sat down. And wouldn't you know it, they decided to sit on either side of him.
Okay, what?
Yeah. So the guy started feeling...
This is dumb already, but go ahead. So hold on. Let me recap where we're at. So there's a guy with a chicken in his pants. And there's two women sitting on either side of him. All right. Is that pretty much where we're at?
That's exactly where we're at. Okay. But however, under the circumstances, he started feeling increasingly uncomfortable because the chicken was becoming restless in the heat of the theater and actually being down inside his pants. It was getting hot. So
I just, this whole chicken in the pants thing is just funny. Okay.
Oh, that's as old as time Lisa. So he wants the chicken not to, you know, get too restless and be able to breathe and not get too hot. So the guy decides to unzip his fly so that the chicken can extend its neck, poke its neck up out.
I don't even want you to continue. It's just so awful. All right. So the guy with the chicken in his pants is letting the chicken head come out.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Exactly. And one woman said to the other one, "Did you see what I saw?" And the woman said, "Yes, I did, Gloria, but I'm trying to ignore it, because if you've seen one, you've seen them all." Gloria says, "Well, I'm not sure about that, because this is the first one I've ever seen that eats popcorn."
That is the stupidest joke I've ever heard.
Thank you. Thank you. That was my goal.
Oh, God, that's funny.
Day after day, there are girls at the office, and men will always be men. Don't send him off with your hair still in curlers. You may not see him again. Start the music, it's time to get ready for love. It's time to get ready. Well, you better get ready. Time to get ready for
for listening to Peculiar Podcast.
Hey, goodbyes.
Join Pat and Lisa online at peculiarpodcast.com.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And on the Peculiar Podcast Facebook fan page.
Sweet.
On Twitter at Peculiar Podcast, at Mr. Pat Cashman, and at Foster Chick.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration.